Okay, ask Catherine. Thanks for a lot of great links, and we've been publishing a lot of them. The first comment is, "Oh my God, did you hear Ben Carson rooted through HUD and found half a trillion bucks missing?" The spin on this is funny. They're saying, "Oh, well, it's just accounting errors." Well, how can you have, 10 times your budget in undocumentable adjustments? You can't. But the spin is pretty funny to listen to. Hi, Catherine. You've often spoken of the possibility of money being sent off planet. While my beliefs expand to accepting the possibility of ETs, I can't understand why they would want money, especially money that isn't backed by anything. Is it just to control us? What am I missing? I'm assuming that one, yes, in theory, they might want to have assets just for control purposes, but I'm also assuming that there's a currency exchange. So, for example, I just got back from Belgium and Netherlands. I didn't spend dollars when I was there. I converted everything into euros and used euros. Similarly, I'm assuming that when I say we get money, we get a lot of money, and that money translates into currencies that can work off planet. So if you look at what has been speculated as being the currency, I think it's if ETs exist, it's very probable that gold is a currency that works off planet, and that's one of the reasons that throughout history gold has been considered money, because it works with whoever that group is. But there are other assets involved. One is slaves, one is people and animals for experimentation. That's what I think the animal mutilations are about. Water is one, and then also areas for transshipment and for use on this planet. So there's a variety of different assets that seems to be or may be part of the trade. So it's basically gold and assets is what I would think. But obviously, they're not taking dollars and spreading dollars out on Mars. That would only work if we had military capacity to force. Countries take dollars because we can force them to. So we would need the military capacity to take everybody on Mars to take dollars. Hello, dear Catherine. Do you suppose free tuition for college in New York State was done at least in part to keep from losing future tax base and revenue? Yes. If and when state and private pension funds begin to fail and reductions are implemented, do you think it likely property taxes in lower tax states will be raised to be comparable to New York, other higher tax states? All of that really depends on what the unfunded liability of the individual states are. So Tennessee has very low unfunded liabilities. I don't think their liabilities are going to be raised to fund, pension fund shortfalls in California or New York. So no, I don't think the property taxes in the states that are fully funded are going to rise comparable. Now, how the unfunded liabilities compare to their current low taxes, you really have to look at it state by state. But I don't think if generally the low tax states have done a better job of funding liabilities. Hi, Catherine. Recently, I thought I heard you say if 5G moves into your city, move. Seattle is one of the test cities. What is it about 5G that you don't like? Could you elaborate? There are three things. EMF radiation. Jason Bowden-Smith talked a little bit in the great interview we did about EMF radiation, about what the dangers. I'm going to be down with him in Sydney, Australia in May and early June. And I'm hoping to learn more and possibly get him to do something on 5G. The second thing is entrainment. I think 5G will give them the ability to be much more invasive in terms of entrainment in the general population. Finally, you have 3D hologram technology that can go with 5G. I think that gives you the ability to do a lot more with virtual reality and do it in a way that will help you stage false flags and all sorts of other events, and will even let you weaponize the population if you do a search for Chuck E. Cheese brawls. Please watch, if you haven't, The Kingsman. Not a movie I love, but it shows you the technology. Or there's another one with John Cusack called, I think, Cell or The Cell. But I'm very concerned about using cell technology as weaponry, and I think it's very, very dangerous. So, if there's anything you need to make sure you're healthy and wealthy, it's your mind. And anything that really impairs the functioning of your mind or impairs your health is, to me, a great concern. Then, next question. Amazing. Guess who Ivanka Trump's best friend is? Fact, not conspiracy. Huma Abedin. This will explain Donald Trump's apparent insanity during the past week. Thanks to Ivanka, Trump was about to be removed from office unless he went along with the war plans. Another, this is a breakthrough. These are facts, not conspiracy theories. I would just warn you, don't fall down the Ivanka did it rabbit hole. It's New York City is a small world, and everybody knows everybody else. So, and clearly Ivanka is somebody who's extremely social and has been extremely social her whole life. So, I think Ivanka, the impact of Ivanka and her husband, Jared Kushner, is way exaggerated. And I assure you, whatever Donald Trump does, Donald Trump is responsible for. And, he's not being handled and told what to do by his 30-something daughter. I just think that's being unfair to both. And, do I think that the establishment has used a variety of carrots and sticks to back Trump into where they want him? Yes. But I don't see that as coming through Ivanka. Okay, I guess Trump has forgotten about his promise to inner-city kids played at the moment. There's an article, New York City black kids die many times at a much higher rate than other children. No, I don't think Trump's forgotten his promise. The problem is going to come when you hit the budget. And basically, if he's gearing up the war machine, that's going to shove everything else. So the statistics you sent me are very long-term statistics. The big challenge that is the Trump administration is going to face is the red button problem. And that does get into the inner cities because you're talking about taking big drug profits out of those neighborhoods and mortgage fraud out of those neighborhoods. And if you're going to turn that around, you need the American people to support you in turning that around. And if you understand the red button problem, I'm not sure that the general population is prepared to support the president in turning that around. So I think it's very wrong for us to point a finger at Trump when the red button problem is from sea to shining sea. So I think, the most important thing is to look in the mirror and say, would you push the red button? Now, if you're a subscriber to the Salyer Report, the answer is probably yes. But we need to get 80% of the American people to agree with us on that. Catherine, I don't know how we can do it, but people like you and Steve Pachesnik and others cannot continue to suffer the likes of Carry the Space case of Camelot or Alex the Spaz. They're totally unprofessional, and citizens of this country must come up with a new media platform. I don't have the answers, but Cynthia McKinney probably does. Thank you for all you do. Actually, we have come up with a new media platform. Pachesnik has his site. I have my site. The more the flow grows to those sites, the more people like Pachesnik and I can do. It's all a function of revenues. The more that flows to us, the more we can do. I'm going to give a compliment to Jones and Cassidy now. So I think that the greatest sin is material omission. And Kerry Cassidy and Alex Jones have both done a lot to basically bring transparency to all the areas of the greatest material omissions. Now, I don't necessarily, their style is not my style. Their approach is not their approach. I have a much higher filter on information, and I'm much more interested in information and helping people sort of navigate reality. I'm not into entertainment, and Jones is, and Cassidy to a certain extent is, much more than I am. So, but different people have different styles, and there's room for everybody. It's interesting, Pachesnik did a big plug for Alex Jones, because Jones has really been taking it from social media, and now in the family courts and from the corporate media. So Pachesnik put out a plug for Alex, and I put the video up on the website. It'll be up tomorrow. So I'm kind of a supporter of of both Jones and Cassidy. And that's why I did the interview with Cassidy. A number of people sort of sent criticisms of me for doing that. But I really, really think that there are people in this world who are lying, cheating, and stealing. And then there are people who are trying to do something about it. And I'm here to help the people who are trying to do something about it. I think we ought to reserve our criticism for the people doing the lying, stealing, and cheating. And, you know, Jones and Cassidy have dug out a lot that helps us figure out and bring transparency to the people lying, stealing, and cheating and why they're behaving where they're behaving. So their style is not my style again, but, I'm for them. And I do think we have a new media platform. All we have to do is grow it, and it's a matter of more and more people coming into it and supporting it. Let's see. Somebody sent me a great video on gaming technology. The Trump Zone, interesting in part for the gaming technology and control. Trump has to have vast knowledge of the technology and control. Yes, I agree. And it's one of the things that has always concerned me about Trump, because if you look at the extent to which very powerful technology is used to get people addicted to gambling, it's very frightening. If you haven't read the interview, we did two book reviews, one on gambling addictions, in essence, this very topic, and one on pornography addictions. And they're both very, very frightening, and I absolutely think it's a plan. I think Trump came out of an industry that used it, and between reality TV shows and casinos, he has to be exceptionally knowledgeable about that technology. Catherine, in trying to apply scenario thinking to the future possibilities of precious metals, I keep running into Harry Dent's persistent predictions that gold will go down to 700 or possibly 400, and that is that now is the time to get out. Although I see the likelihood that precious metals will get sucked down in the not unlikely case of a severe credit crunch, all the fundamentals, including continuing market manipulations by the Fed and banks, would seem to push it onward and upward. I appreciate Dent's contributions to the economic effects of demographics, but what do you make of his alarmist predictions for precious metals? What do you see as the likelihood of a severe credit contraction, of PMs being taken down and staying down? Any other reasons for a collapse in PMs? Any sense of how to prepare for these possibilities beyond having some capital to take advantage of them? There are many different possible scenarios, and I'm going to talk about this in the equity overview, but the first reason, and I've always been worried that if the dollar got very, very strong, we could consolidate down to, you know, the 700 level. I think we're in a long-term bull market. I've said there's an 80% chance we are, and that we just have to finish consolidating, and I've been very impressed at how gold has held the 1100 line. We haven't gone down into that 700 scenario. Now, there's still a chance we could get a very strong dollar scenario, but given the way Trump is and the military machine are going, I think the chances have been reduced dramatically from a year ago when I was very worried about this. So, but we could finish the consolidation down and before returning to the bull, and that could take us down to 700 if you look at the technical analysis. The second thing is, if we get a complete financial collapse, gold, you'll be very glad you have gold, but, you know, who knows what the price will be. Now, if the price is 400, but, you know, a loaf of bread is a penny, then it's all relative. So everything's going to go down in a collapse. Gold may not go down as much. But finally, I think the big danger is if they get total central control and get everybody in the central banking warfare or the central banking model and literally are able to turn society cashless, everybody chipped with digital currency, then the gold system is going to be entirely another paper system, and the price is going to be whatever they want it to be. So if you go to a centrally controlled digital currency with cashless with everybody chipped, you know, then price means nothing. All bets are off. So that's why I say the important question here is not as what the price of gold is. The important question is, are we going to live in a human and inhuman society? Because then you're talking about a slavery society. You're talking about a very different situation. but in that case, gold could go to 400. I would say that I'm much more worried about serious debasement and asset inflation scenarios at this point, given the way that Trump's going. So, but I would underscore all scenarios are possible, and that's why it's very important to be prepared to deal with tremendous price volatility in all the different asset categories, and stay very balanced in your approach. And I, you know, I continue to be a buyer and holder of a quarter position. So if you haven't read my my commentary on the website, what percentage of my assets should I hold in precious metals? I strongly recommend you read that because it still applies. And then they finish. By the way, thanks for the excellent daily upgrades in the blog news section. I now depended on it for my main source of what's going on that matters. Kudos to you and your diligent newsmen. Boy, are our newsmen diligent. We have two wonderful people doing top picks. They do a fantastic job. And they're always scouring the news. We're trying to find more stories about local success. Anyway, continuing gratitude and blessings to you, your staff, and your interviewees. Well, thank you very much. Then, have you checked out USA Facts? USA Facts was inspired by a conversation Microsoft Steve Ballmer had with his wife. She wanted him to get more involved in philanthropic work. He thought it made sense to first find out what government does with the money it raises. Where does the money come from and where is it spent? Whom does it serve? And most importantly, what are the outcomes? Very similar to your efforts. I've posted USA Facts up on the website, and I've been trolling around playing with it, trying to understand it. I have more to do, but I think it's fantastic. So now you're starting to see enough people, a critical mass of people, get interested in saying, well, you know, where is all the money going and what is it really doing and how do we make it work better? And there's nothing more powerful. That's why, again, if you go to town hall meetings, if you write to your congressman, if you answer surveys, you know, use my answers that I just gave earlier. Then another person writes in and says, so what are the chances of hot war at this time? I wrote back. I said, depends on what you mean by hot. Chances of significant increase in ground troops in Syria, 25%. Nuclear war with North Korea, 5%. Nuclear war with Russia, 1%. People in Congress and Washington having each other killed or impacted violently, 90%. It's not funny. I'm not laughing. I hate to see people get killed. But I definitely think, you know, AKA you saw a professional hit taking out a DNC staffer, probably connected to the WikiLeaks last year. So I think we're going to see assassinations and killings and poisoning and other very dirty tricks in Washington for the next couple of years. One thing I would note is you see Chinese reports that the Chinese have moved 150,000 troops up to the North Korean border, and now there are reports today that Russia is moving troops up to their part of the North Korean border. To me, that's to prevent immigration. If you listen to the great interview we did with Professor Kelly Greenhill about immigration, and immigration as a weapon, of course, one of the dangers is North Korea. If China doesn't do what North Korea wants, or Russia doesn't do what North Korea wants, North Korea just sends a million people across the border. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if part of this warfare is weaponizing the population. Thank you for the Solari report. As a 70-year-old retiree, I do not feel qualified to voice opinions, but I do have several questions. My twofold questions regards the role of Israel both here and globally, and then the simple aspect of opportunity clouded in misdirection. Regarding black budgets and funding of wars, I do not see much analysis of how natural disasters, Haiti, or man-made disasters or economic disasters are seen as opportunities as a model of creating personal wealth to be spread around to members of a group. It feels like a shell game where the money never moves. If you haven't read Naomi Klein's book, Disaster Capitalism, I think she does a great job. But I think also Michelle Chanadovsky has a couple of books that also do a great job at that. So I think there's a lot of good material around on that topic. I worked in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and India for 35 years and saw it firsthand. Contracts flowed through USAID, and it was illegal to divulge the terms of contracts awarded. It is hard to wrap your head around the Clinton swooping down on Haiti as an opportunity to collect money in D.C. The same goes for wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, the Middle East, or Africa and South America. It's absolutely true, although some of the wealth is they pick up rights and control and ownership of natural resources. So that is place-based, if you will. But I'll never forget, you know, one great article about the Mexican bailouts in 1995 about how the money never left J.P. Morgan Chase. It just went from one account to another account to another account back to the other account. It was just like a round trip within 40 Wall Street. Then a second topic that rarely sees the light of day is the role of Israel in the Middle Eastern dictatorship, seeing war and misery as necessary for survival. You explain all of the above in a way that we have to read between the lines to get a glimmer of a very basic truth. We Americans are guilty of mass crimes against humanity. Yes, that's true. New York, D.C., Hollywood, Silicon Valley, mass media, and I would add sports, encourages us to cheer them on. Yes, that's true. That was a very important insight you brought to the discussion. You might create a term like Mr. Global to describe it. I think I did. I noticed Saker recently taking on the elephant in the room. I hope you'll discuss this in more detail next time you meet with him. Saker wrote an article basically saying that a lot of this was a Zionist phenomena. Now, I'm not inclined to beat the Zionist drum, but I do think it's a piece of the puzzle. In my experience, it's a big planet. You have lots of different groups competing. To me, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is not the Zionists. It's basically, you know, what is the story about the ET phenomena? Is it disinformation? Is it information? Does it relate to a separate species? You know, there's something going on that is highly weird. And to me, that's the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and you can't solve this thing by blaming it all on the Zionists. There's no doubt Israel wants to be the hegemon in the Middle East, and they're very aggressive about it. They traditionally have done a lot of the covert jobs and been the bad guy for the U.S. and Brits, so, you know, the Brits and the U.S. can look like James Bond or, you know, various kinds of good guys, and the Israelis can be the bad guys. The genocide of the Palestinians is very ugly business, but it's certainly not more ugly than the genocide of the American Indians or the African-American slave trade that the U.S. and Brits did. So, you know, there's no doubt the Israeli lobby in Washington is just dreadful and overpowering. And if you look at Netanyahu's treatment of the American president, it's just was so over the top, not to be believed. So I'm not a big fan of Israel, but I think the 800-pound gorilla in the room is the story of what is happening off-planet. Where is all the money disappearing to? It's basically the black budget, not you know, oh, the Zionists made me do it. Debasement, war, and organized crime. The G7 nations are financially dependent on these things. And that's the question. How do we get out of that dependence? There was a fantastic article by I keep quoting the German finance minister, Wolfgang Schwabel. He's great. I've got to, you know, someday I'd love to get this guy on the Salary Report. He's a little busy now, but he had a great editorial in the journal today on what we should be building in the Western countries is resilience, you know, which is a very euphemistic and very polite way of saying we need to kill our addiction to debt, crime, and war. We need to build real economic resilience. Dear Catherine Austin Fitz, as a former ROTC student in college in the U.S. and 72 years of age, and an independent American researcher for over 40 years, as well as being 5 feet away from President Kennedy when he arrived at the Hyannis Airport after winning the nomination for president, I treat your output as one of my fundamentals in analyzing today's events. I've worked retired to Ireland for the last 16 years and smiled when you and Kerry mentioned how humane folks are over here. It's one of the reasons I retired to the Republic of Ireland. However, my question is about contemporary Chinese society, since Catherine studied Mandarin Chinese at the Chinese University of Hong Kong. Because I was raised in the U.S. in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and I've listened intently to all of Dan Collins, his website, the China Money Report, interviews on China, and see a similarity in how the U.S. was built up in my youth and how China is going through it now. My question is, since I won't have a problem learning Mandarin, what would you suggest I focus on? For example, I already know If I were wealthy, I would have a home on Hainan Island. You know, I'm not sure what you're driving at for the question, but I would say the per capita convergence of East Asia with the G7 nations and the investment being made on the space race in China and in Asia, including India, are some of the biggest long-term trends in the equity markets. And as long as you're prepared for the extraordinary volatility, I would say it's one of the deep and positive trends in the equity market. And you need a lot of patience and you need a lot of ability to deal with volatility. But it's one of the reasons I'm headed to Asia. I'm in the process, we won't announce it till later this year, but I'm in the process of developing the screen for the Solera World Hedge Portfolio. And it's going to be a world fund. And one of the things I really want to look at is how do you, where in the equity market to invest to take care of those two trends? We've been spending a lot of time developing our lists of space companies, and we'll be, when we launch our new website, that'll be accessible to you. That's an update from last year's annual wrap up. And then someone else brought again the wonderful USA facts that Steve Ballmer has set up. And again, I would say if you find all this interesting, just pull up that commentary on the website, my letter to my congressman, and print it out and cross off my congressman's name, put in yours, and send it to them. Because that's how we get real resolution. If you get every community in America looking at all the opportunities to re-engineer the money in a way that might makes the money significantly more productive and in a way that creates employment, that's part of what we need to do to really turn this around. And it's got to be done one county at a time. You cannot do it from Washington.